I want to talk to you this morning about God's great, amazing love for us through the prayer that Jesus prayed. I invite you, please join with me as we work through the outlines. I usually have one, and I have 3 points that I'd like to share with you. If somebody had the chance to travel by time, let's say if time travel was possible, and if somebody could travel from just before the crucifixion, so they haven't seen the crucifixion yet, they don't know anything about it, and then they come to our time. And as they come to our time, I wonder how many of you right now have a cross hanging around your neck. Or do you have jewelry? Like maybe you have cross earrings. Or you have a cross necklace or something like that. Maybe you have a cross in your house. I wonder what they would think about that. I mean, it would be like us, like me having a little electric chair, you know, hanging around my neck. Or having, you know, somebody having like noose earrings hanging from our ears. I mean, it would just look weird. They wonder what in the world is going on with that. And it made me think that the cross is something that is very amazing, very unique, very horrible in what it did. But for us, it's a wonderful blessing. And Jesus prayed for the blessings that would come from the cross. And so what we want to look at is we want to look at his last prayer. These are some of the final words that he shared. And some of the blessings that he believed, and this is God, this is God Almighty, that he knows are going to happen in the lives of those that follow him and believe. This is great and beautiful, encouraging stuff for us. And the first thing that Jesus does in this prayer, he prays for our protection. And what I want to share with you, protection is important for us. I think all of us want to have protection. All of us would love to have a peaceful life without any problems. I would love for that to happen. But you know, God is not going to put your life in a bubble. It's not going to happen. He's just simply not going to do that. It's not what he promises here, and this is not the way it's going to work. We all have to face troubles. We have to face difficulties in this world. And it doesn't matter whether you're going to face health troubles, whether you're going to face relationship problems. This is a reality. This is just going to happen. You might be facing some financial problems. This is it. This is life. And you can't escape this. All these things are going to happen to us in our lives. It's unfortunate. It's a reality of who we are. And you're going to go through and you're going to have to face them. And what God wants us to see, as you see on the screen up there, is that we are so closely and intertwined, so knit together with Jesus Christ and with each other, that there is a great strength in that. Now stop and think about this. Let's just reflect on Jesus' ministry when he was on earth. Now a lot of times we have pictures of him, you know, teaching the crowds and the Sermon on the Mount. We kind of think about it from that perspective. But now think about when he ministered to his disciples. When he sent out 12 of them. What did he do? When he sent out 12 disciples, he didn't give them anything. Zip. Zero. He said, you guys just go out and minister. I mean, that could be a terrifying thing. They have not been to seminary. They haven't been to school. All they've been is with Jesus. And he says, you guys go out. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about where you're going to stay. Don't worry about anything at all. Just go ahead. And then when the 12 came back, he sent out 72 more. Exact same thing. And there was a time when he fed 5,000 people. And actually, it was more than that. It was 5,000 plus the women and the children. So that's a lot of people. The setup for that is this, is that Jesus took his disciples to the other side of the lake so that they could be totally by themselves because John the Baptist had been beheaded. It was just too much busyness for them. They couldn't even eat. And when he gets to the other side of the lake, everybody had followed Jesus, and so he had this huge crowd. He receives them. Not only receives them, he speaks to them all day long, purposefully. And then at the end of the day, of course, there's this crowd that's too far to go get food. They don't have food. And they're wondering what in the world's going to happen. The disciples come to him and they say, you know, Jesus, we have a problem here. These people don't have food. Jesus says, you feed them. That's what he says in the Gospels. He says, you feed them. And in the Gospel of John, it actually says that Jesus knew ahead of time what he was going to do before he said it. He wanted to develop their faith. He wanted them to have the same faith that he enjoyed in his earthly life with the Father. The same closeness that he had with the Father, he wants us to know, and this is what God wants to work in us. This is something that you often don't think about. Something that I was just talking to somebody actually before the service, and it's so true. Something we don't want to do. We don't want to trust. It's difficult for us. We want everything kind of all charted out. We want to be in control. And the reality is, God says no in his infinite wisdom. I'm going to save you by faith. Why? So that you can see how much I love you. So that you can see how much I love and care for you. And you are going to be in the most difficult, the trying circumstances. But, you know, it's going to give you the opportunity to see. And I'll tell you, your flesh, as we say in the church, or as we would say, our human nature doesn't want to think like this. The devil does not want you to think like this. He does not want you to know that God can provide for everything that you're going through. Does not want you to know that. Wants you to worry and think about it, and wants you to get distracted. Protection does not mean a perfect life. Protection does not mean you're not going to have any problems. Protection is knowing that God will strengthen you and help you in the midst of it. And I can tell you right now, if you're going through a difficult trial in your life, and there is a whisper in the back of your mind, I think God's going to help me in this. I think it's going to be okay, even if it's a minority voice, and you can hear that. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That is God's Holy Spirit speaking to you, communicating to you that you are his child and he wants you to trust him. And you know, God has this open love for us, this caring. And he is praying for us that in the realities of life, we will turn to God. We as believers, salvation was not our work. It's not something that we did. It's something that God did, and God did alone through the blood of Jesus Christ. He drew us. He planted the faith in us. But each and every day, you and I have a choice. I have a choice to turn my heart and mind to Jesus Christ and to trust him and realize that he is that loving, that he is that caring. You see, the second thing is that he's talking about the love that he has for us. And this love is amazingly intertwined with his protection. His protection for us, his love for us, it is just amazingly going hand in hand. And the reality is the more that we trust God in difficult situations, the more we realize that he is faithful. The more that we give him our cares and our burdens, Jesus does not minimize our pain. He doesn't do that. He understands. And Jesus wants us to know the same love and care that he knew with the Father. He wants that to be a reality for us. I have learned a long time ago, it is not sinful to ask God questions. It's not a sin. It's not wrong to ask God questions, to say, I don't understand this, I don't like this, I don't want this. Jesus did this in the garden. When he went, and actually at this time, he is praying. And he's praying with his disciples, but this is right around the time when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays to the Father. He says, Father, if there is any way, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. So when you and I look to God for protection, you will feel closer to God. And if there's ever a time that you feel especially distant or you feel that God is remote, cast your care upon him because he cares for you, Peter says. Now, I have three kids, so speak to the confirmands for a moment. I got three kids, one just graduated from college, it's the last one out. And I know when they went through high school, you guys are getting ready to make that shift. I know that you're going to run into things that are difficult and that are trying. I don't want you to meet that challenge on your own. I don't want you to meet that challenge without faith in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the beauties of your confirmation. It's to root and ground you in the love of God in Christ. And that you being rooted and grounded in that can have a source and a confidence that's going to help you when your peers are dissing you, when you feel like you're ugly, when you feel like things are not working out, when you feel like you might have helped fail things and all sorts of stuff that are going to come into your mind. But that you would have the confidence, and you would have the assurance that you are God's child. Great strength in that. And then Jesus, you know, he gives us the encouragement that we need. He speaks to us. And, you know, the last point that I want to share with you, because, you know, a good question is, well, how do you do this, Jesus? You know, how does this work? Because it's hard. It's hard to walk. It's hard to love people. It's hard to get along together. My goodness, these things are not easy to do, right? It's hard for you guys to live your life. It's hard for you to get along with your parents, if we're honest. It's hard for us to get along with other people. I mean, people are people, right? And they can be irritating at times. And it can be difficult for us. And there's all these sorts of challenges. But see, God has this idea. He says, oh, if you can just draw close to me, you can see the love that I have for you. And you can let that be the source and the encouragement for your life. There is great hope. And as I was saying, he draws us to where that hope comes from. It comes from the precious Word of God. He says that in the text. And I would pray that God's Word would speak to you. He says sanctify, and then he says sanctify them by his Word. You know, when we were in the country of Namibia, we spent many years there as missionaries. Let me just tell you a story. There was there are houses that they built there, and they built them out of cinder block. And they had these cinder block homes, and they would put plaster on the outside, cement. Beautiful. They look gorgeous. But for a certain period of years, they had put too much ash content in the cinder blocks. And so what would happen is these cinder blocks would pop. So they had been sitting there for 10, 15, 20 years, and the ash content would cause the cinder blocks to break down, and they would pop. And then it would cause these pock marks in the walls, and you'd see them inside and out, and some houses were affected more than others. And it made me think, you know, we all are like those cinder blocks. I mean, there is defects, there's goodness in all of us, that's true, but it's not perfection. The psalmist said the only thing that's perfect is the Word of God. And we need to have that encouragement, because from time to time, you are going to see those defects in yourself. You're going to see those defects in your friends. You're going to see those pockmarks in your parents. You're going to see this in life. And I would encourage you not to be discouraged by them, but to do what Jesus is encouraging us to do. And that's to turn to the Word of God. To let His Word, He says in verse 17, make them pure. Make them pure. If you want to be pure, there's so much impurity in this world. If you want to have your mind on something that's pure, look at the Word of God. You're not going to find it in the media. You're not going to find it on the internet. You're not going to find it even in your family. It's just, we're imperfect people. But I can tell you that you will find it in the Word of God. And it will bring a focus into your life that would not be there otherwise. And so I would encourage you to take encouragement from that. And to know this, and I am really happy that this is the case, that Jesus Christ is praying for you. I'm glad for that. I need that. Jesus Christ is praying for you. And this is just a wonderful blessing that He shares with us. This is a wonderful blessing that I pray would be a continued encouragement to you. Not only confirmands, but for us as adults. Hey, you know, as adults, life is hard, right? And we need this. So let's not turn our hearts and minds from that which God has given us and which Jesus Christ is praying would strengthen us. In Jesus' name.